British Sky Broadcasting presents Space Truckers, a Goldcrest Films international release. Voiced by Paul Vates on behalf of MCS Agency. Location: Triton, the largest moon of the planet Neptune. Flying at speed through the moon's clouds, we drop into a dark, rocky canyon and skim the surface, just missing boulders and outcrops, turning left and right. We rise from the canyon and discover a large grey settlement. It is apparent that they are on red alert. Inside, troops are in emergency formation.
Move! I want to see a weapon here and a weapon there! Sergeant, split the squad! Set your weapons for close range!
Laser sight interlock. Engage.
You ready to seal the room?
Systems armed, sir. Ready on your order.
Prepare to seal the room on my count. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
At the center of this control room sit E.J. Sags and the cigar-smoking inventor, Nabel.
Attention, all personnel. The room is sealed. I repeat, the room is sealed.
Control 2 to building commander. I'm showing an intrusion beyond perimeter 3. Moving to check it out.
Sector perimeter 3 scanning.
Sector. I see it. Open and fire now.
Nabel, this thing's been spotted and targeted already. Frankly, I was expecting more. The company is expecting much more.
Well, Mr. Sachs, sir, if you'll just be patient.
Must have missed.
Holy moly, I'm taking shots here! I'm in! Take me out!
AAV 13, do you copy?
We just lost contact with Command Post 3 outside the second perimeter.
This is Commander Chopper 4. We lost contact with Post 3. Can you drop him some temporary communications gear?
Screw that, Command! You didn't lose contact, you lost them! Over! I'm putting rockets in that area, hear me? Over! Check your goddamn screens!
Where is he, Nabel?
Heading this way, Mr. Sachs. He's on his way.
Move the armored personnel carriers and hotshots from the east sector to the west! And keep them moving!
0-0-9-3. Lost visual sensors.
What the hell is that?
Air 4, what the hell is going on out there? What are those explosions?
How many of these things are there? Great and bad!
One, repeat, one!
They took your air! We love you! In bed!
Jeez! Sag stands up in panic.
Holy shit! It's right outside!
Stay cool. Stay at your workstations.
Everybody stares at the locked door. The troops point their guns. Sags looks worried. Suddenly a hole starts appearing in the security door. Whatever is outside is melting its way through.
Building! Fire!
The biomechanical warrior steps into the room. The troops' bullets are having no effect. The warrior walks forwards. It scans its location and finds Sags. Its three red eyes glow stronger as it begins to slay the troops one by one. There is chaos. Some troops retreat, but all the others get killed. Equipment explodes. The room is filled with smoke, bodies, and panic. Job done, the warrior walks up to a cowering Sags and is about to kill him when Nabel presses a remote. The warrior is switched off. Nabel smiles. Sags stands up and makes an intercom announcement.
This exercise is concluded. Security, stand down.
How many people know about this?
I'm the only one with a complete picture, Mr. Sags. I split development between divisions, different planets. That's why it costs so much.
Yeah, it was expensive. But you know, Nabel, with enough of these, we could take over the world.
Which world?
Earth, Nabel. The government's been hanging by a thread for years. I mean, with 100 of these, how many we got?
5,000.
You astonish me.
Sags walks up to the warrior for a closer look at the three red eyes.
A particle weapon. There's nobody within 5 years of having anything remotely like it. Now, this thing turns them on and off. You want to activate them, you just click here and give them new objectives. Here.
Sags takes the controller.
I assign your voice primary command authority.
Nabel, you're a genius. I'm proud of you. The company will be very proud of you. If circumstances only permitted, I would greenlight one great hellacious bonus for you and a promotion right on the spot. But with our objective on Earth, you can see how that precludes it.
I see.
Well, I knew you would, Nabel. I mean, after all, you are a genius. Of course, this all has to be deniable. From which you can unfortunately infer that you, too, have to be deniable.
Sags presses the remote. The warrior turns on.
Destroy Dr. Nabel.
No.
The warrior turns to Nabel, and its red eyes glow.
No.
Opening credits. Space Truckers, a Peter Newman Interal production in association with Mary Breen Farrelly Productions. Directed by Stuart Gordon. Story by Stuart Gordon and Ted Mann. Original music by Colin Townes. Starring Dennis Hopper as John Canyon, Stephen Dorff as Mike Pucci, Debbie Mazar as Cindy, and Charles Dance as Nabel and Macanudo. Them big wheels are rubber gonna rubber. A long cargo spaceship approaches the planet Jupiter. The pilot, John Canyon, radios in.
Cub approach, this is heavy freight, Pachyderm Kilo, Foxtrot 946, requesting clearance into Interport docks.
Pachyderm Foxtrot, reduce speed to 1500 and contact your corporate controller on the designated frequency.
John squirts a strip of mustard, which simply floats in midair. He then pushes his hot dog into it and eats.
This is John Canyon, inbound from Mars City, calling in and pork. I've got 147 trailers of Mars' finest genetically squared, jacked up hogs, which naturally I want to dump as soon as possible. You got dock open?
Canyon, this is Keller at Interport Packers Dispatch. You're 2 days past due.
Check out my regrets about.
You want these hogs or not, Mr. Keller?
You get them into Sea Dock, Canyon.
Park your load and park your mouth.
John flies his ship towards a huge space station. He passes dozens of floating adverts. One reads, Rubik's Cuban Cuisine, your money back if you vomit. Another says, sparkling moon water, it's loonified. A third says, get your red hot circle dog. Do not feed to pets. John concentrates as he approaches Sea Dock and slams on the brakes. The ship docks perfectly.
Pigeon Betty, I'm checking on cargo.
As you wish, freight driver. Magnetic floor activated.
John's heavy metal boots stick to the floor. He leaves the cockpit and wanders into a container. After a moment, the doors automatically close behind him. He opens a compartment door.
Now, how
are you all doing, huh?
The hold is full of pigs, all squashed into crates. Outside, a docking corridor is attaching to his ship. John, oblivious to this, feeds a pig the remains of his hot dog.
You like that, don't you, huh?
His visitors arrive.
Everybody happy? Huh?
Doors open and Keller walks in with his two heavies.
So, where's my beer and when do I get paid?
You can unhook your rig, Canyon. Stop by the office in half an hour. I'll cut you a check.
I'll unhook when I got my money, no offense.
You know that's not company policy.
Yeah, I know that. That's why it's my policy not to unhook until I'm paid.
You're late. Plenty late.
You want to apologize? I got the hogs here in good shape. I did it as quick as I could. You knew my rig was slow when you hired me for the job.
I've taken that into consideration. And that's the reason I'm willing to offer you 1,500 credits.
No. You owe me 6,000.
You don't seem to get it. That I've only offered you the 1,500 out of impulsive generosity.
I think it's time for you to leave. You're upsetting my pigs.
All right, Jackie.
Go get him, Jackie.
My pleasure.
John dodges.
Oh, no, Jackie, that's not the way to throw a punch in zero gravity. See, this is the recommended technique.
Jackie spins away to the far end of the container. He spits out bubbles of blood as he watches his tooth float away. Mel pulls out a gun, but Keller stops him.
What the hell do you think you're doing? Come on, you're gonna depressurize the area and kill us all! Canyon, these hogs are company property.
They belong to me until you pay me. Now get the hell off my rig!
I'm gonna get a court order, you hear me? No forfeiture right to any payment!
Yeah.
You hear me?
Later, John enters the Hub Diner, a donut-shaped eating place. He looks around. The restaurant is full of cowboy truckers. He smiles when he sees the waitress he's searching for. It is Cindy. She's talking to a young man, Mike Pucci. John walks up, sits down, and interrupts their happy conversation.
Hey, Cindy.
Hey.
Hi, John. Gone only 4 weeks this time, huh?
Yeah, you got lucky. I picked up a load of square pigs on Mars.
Who is this?
My name's Mike Pucci.
Oh, let's not get ahead of ourselves. You a space trucker kid?
Not yet.
He's taking us so long today.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, Habib, give me a synth burger well done and a side of champagne.
What kind of rig you driving?
Pachyderm 2000.
Pachyderm, right. So you've been driving for a while, I guess.
It's hard to beat that old iron, kid.
Student Mike Pucci, report to Area T.
Oh, that's me. Wish me luck, Cindy.
Luck, Mike.
See ya.
Hi.
Who's the kid? For you, I mean.
The customer, like you.
Well, I didn't always sit. Used to be just a customer, huh?
She takes Mike's unfinished food.
Hey.
Alex, sorry. New rules, the recycling wall leftovers, okay?
With all the cheap bullshit.
I don't like it any better than you do, but I can't afford to get fired, especially now.
What's going on?
Well, you know my mother's on Earth, right?
Maybe you mentioned it, yeah?
Well, she's got to have an operation, and it's really serious, and I promised I'd be there with her.
Oh, that's rough. I'm sorry. So when are you leaving?
Leaving? You know what a ticket costs? I'd have to pull double shifts here for over a year to earn my way out of here.
Let me ask around and see what I can come up with.
You're a good man, John, but you're not a company man. They only give Earth friends to company people, and not one of them has the balls to risk taking me. God, what I wouldn't give.
You know what I'd want.
Yeah.
How many times have I proposed to you? Three?
I think you left out a few. Last couple of times you were pretty loaded.
I'll tell you what. You agree to marry me? I'll get you to Earth.
Cindy!
You're right.
Oh, it's a deal then, huh?
John, you get me to Earth, and if you still want to marry me when we get there, I'll do it. All right. I gotta get back to work, okay?
John thinks.
Right.
Meanwhile, on John's ship, Keller's two heavies are about to steal the pigs.
sonic pick.
Cool, man. Yeah! Get the tow truck ready. I'll unhook the load and meet you there.
Okay.
Mel lowers a lever. This makes the ship release its hold of the cargo pods. In the diner, some colleagues call John over.
Hey, John.
Ah, hi.
Still working independent, John?
Well, I still own my own rig, pick my own loads, and don't sell ad space on my tits, if that's what you're talking about.
You back for Kev's funeral?
Oh, I didn't hear.
He and his load got into the scum cluster. Not much of either came out.
Oh, hijackers killed him, huh?
And then some.
Who do you think got him?
Word is that Captain McAnoodle stumbled on.
The guy's a damn depraved animal.
Captured Kev and his load.
All they sent back was his dick.
Using a tennis ball can for a coffin.
Cremation would have had more dignity if you asked me.
Anyways, John, we're planning on having a wake after the service.
Hey, Jan, you hauled Interpark hogs.
Yeah, they're my hogs until I get paid for them. Would you look at that? Some piece of garbage wrapped in human skin is trying to jack my load.
They all look out of the window. The cargo pods are floating away from his ship. At Keller's Interpork office, Mike knocks at the door and enters.
Yeah.
You wanted to see me, Mr. Keller.
Yeah. I understand you just graduated from space truck school.
Yeah.
I need someone to push a shipment of square hogs to Little Chicago on Titan.
Square pigs? Isn't that John Canyon's load?
It's an Interpork load. I fired Canyon yesterday. You got a feeling about that one way or the other?
No. No, I barely know the guy.
Good. Because there's about 1,500 out-of-work freight pushers here who want that job.
Yeah, well, I'm the best.
Well, your potential is frightening. You want the job?
I'll take it.
Pick up your pink probationary coveralls from Amos and Supply. See you keep them clean.
Pink, huh?
They're pink.
Later in the diner, Mike is dressed all in pink.
Hey, Mike, congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah. John, Mike got himself a new job.
Well, normally, we'd have some kind of blowout
for that.
But I see from your pajamas who you're working for, which is nothing to celebrate.
John, not everyone can be independent. Not everyone can drive their own rig, babe.
John, I'm sorry about you losing your job, okay? This is my only shot. I'm out of money, I'm out of credit. Somebody's got to get these pigs to Titan.
You took a fearless moral inventory, kid, and then you took my job? Well, if you can live with that, great. But I don't have to. Now, you hump yourself down at the other end of the bar.
Look, I treat you with respect. I'm asking you to do the same here.
Keller's here.
Keller enters with Jackie and Mel.
Hey, look, kid. Your boss brought the circus with him.
Well, we come to pay our respects.
The circus! A pair of trained turds right here.
He's just blowing steam, Mr. Keller. This Kev thing's got people upset.
Slam your teeth, Delia. I want you off this hub, Canyon.
Oh, I'd like to oblige you. If you had paid me, I'd be gone by now.
We fueled your rig. Now move your ass down there and off of this station.
I don't work for you.
Jackie and John fight. Mel joins in. They hold John so Keller can hit him.
What? Somebody say something? Huh?
No one owns up.
You don't mess with me, Canyon. And you never, ever mess with the...
Now, hold on, Mr. Keller. The man's within his rights here.
Step off, kid.
Kid's a real space lawyer.
John headbutts Keller in the stomach, and a Western-style bar fight begins. Mike hurls himself at Jackie. John punches Mel and throws him over the bar before aiming for Keller, who nervously backs away.
Help! Jackie, do something!
Jackie punches Mike, who punches back.
Jackie, do something!
Jackie pulls out his gun, aims, and shoots a window.
My God! Somebody help me!
Keller can't hold on. John tries to reach Keller. They grab each other's wrists but can't hold. And Keller is sucked towards the hole, where his bottom plugs it. He smiles with relief.
Yes! Come on, the energy!
Everyone stares as Keller's face changes. He is being sucked into space. At an agonizingly slow pace, Keller is sucked through the tiny window. Once gone, the diner returns to chaos.
Give me your hand. Come on. Come on.
The police arrive. People run everywhere. John opens the ladies' toilet and ushers Mike and Cindy inside.
It's the wrong door.
Get him now!
John, it's the wrong door!
John opens a cubicle door.
Get out! What are you doing? Get
John,
out!
John,
most of this is occupied!
As she screams, John opens the lady's mouth. She is a robot.
Nice lady.
Come on in the cubicle, Buckman.
John presses some buttons on her oral keypad. The floor begins to drop down as the police search the toilets outside.
All right, check the stalls.
Get out! What are you doing? Get out!
Their lift stops by a danger harmful radiation door, which opens.
This wouldn't be strictly a social call, would it?
It's always a pleasure to see you, Mr. Zesty.
They walk up to the strange man's desk.
I need to get off the hub. I need a load.
Mr. Zesty thinks.
It's problematic, John. Problematic. There are people who would like to see you put down like a diseased dog. Powerful people.
How about I recite all the times that I helped you out? This and that, here and there.
An appeal to my sentimental side?
Yeah.
I shall open my heart at once. I do have something. Something unpleasant, I fear.
We'll take it. I'm his partner.
Says who?
What, you saying I'm not? I lost one job because of you. You owe me. I stay here, they're gonna mount my ass on a board.
You are a passenger, not a partner. So what have you got, Mr. Zesty?
It is a rush shipment to Earth. 2-day schedule. Containers to be left in high orbit on arrival.
He said Earth.
We'll do it.
What's the cargo?
The manifest states extruded polymer sexual surrogates.
Sex dolls?
They're paying 5 times the going rate. And providing all the paperwork. Forged, of course, but undetectable.
I said, done.
I hesitate to caution a man of your experience, but the consigners of this cargo were most emphatic that their delivery schedule be adhered to. And don't tamper with those containers.
Later on John's ship.
Is this gonna take long? There's troopers all over the place.
No, I'm on the start. Do you see her coming?
No. Think the law grabbed her?
Nah, she'll make it.
I like her. She's friendly.
Yeah, she's got a kindly nature.
Do you mind if I ask you what the deal is with Cindy?
I don't get you.
Yeah, I think she likes me. I'd like to pursue it further. I'd like to know if you're involved.
If I get you drift, and I do get you drift, I must tell you that a gentleman, Mike, a gentleman doesn't answer a question like that.
That's a no.
The door behind them opens.
Oh, sorry I'm late. I had to give me 30 seconds notice. Here, help me out.
Her case opens and her clothes drift away.
She's my underwear.
John grabs a floating photo.
I haven't seen this before. Is this a friend of yours?
I asked him, that's my mother, Carol. It was taken before I was born.
Yeah, I can see where you got your good looks from, huh?
Well, thanks.
Wouldn't have minded meeting her back then, huh?
I am?
Yeah.
They pack her stuff away and sit down.
Here we go.
They strap themselves in. John's ship heads to the massive loading bay. Once inside, he looks for his consignment. Hundreds of goods are piled high. As they approach one section, John becomes slightly suspicious. One very long line of cargo trailers snakes off into the distance. Once near them, he frowns, studying them as closely as he can.
There.
John indicates that the cargo pods are ready to be taken.
Gee, I've never seen trailers like these before. They look,
creepy.
They look like they've come a long ways already.
What do you think's in them, John?
I don't.
Something very creepy.
John backs into the front container and docks. Clamps close and lock.
At maximum velocity, we're still going to be 60 hours the wrong side of delivery time.
If we stay in the shipping lanes.
John, you want to fill me in on your plans here?
I don't ask you yours.
Look, we're all in this together, okay? I think you owe me and Cindy the courtesy of an answer here.
All systems functional, pressure within acceptable ranges. Electronic subsystems testing.
John, look, the minute we pull out of here, the transport troopers are going to be all over us. Do you get that?
For now, you're just going to have to learn to live with your fear. If it gets too bad, breathe into a paper bag or something. But shut up. Call it yourself.
They accelerate away and leave the cargo hold. Once in open space, three transport troopers immediately join them. Officer Cook speaks.
You better power down, Canyon.
I'm sorry, boys. I got a priority load of perishable goods here.
It's not a request. We got questions about Keller.
Well, last time I saw him, he was being sucked ass first into the outer darkness.
John, I think these guys are getting serious. We better stop.
Yeah.
Well, I still have an option open.
Officer Cook makes a decision.
All units converge.
Suddenly, John accelerates and swings his ship hard to the right, leaving the shipping lane. He just misses one of the floating landing lights and then swings hard left, this time clipping a landing light. It spins off and crashes into the next light, starting a domino effect. The transport troopers have to act fast so as not to crash into them. Two make it clear, but one hits and spins out of control. We hear the voice of E.J. Sags.
Abandon pursuit. Repeat, do not pursue.
We can get him, damn it.
The orders are to abandon pursuit.
I love taking orders.
The two transport troopers turn back as John flies away into the distance. On board, Mike checks the screen readouts.
Looks like we lost her.
More like they stopped chasing us.
That was some of the best driving I've ever seen.
Thank you. Just put the pedal to the metal and play footsie with fate, son.
Later, as the ship flies towards Earth, John is preparing breakfast, microwaving tubes of flavored paste.
Breakfast is ready.
Turn your cortexes on up there. Food's ready. Mike, Cindy, come on.
Mike and Cindy drop out of their seats, floating down beside John.
We on time?
We will be.
We left the space lanes.
About 6 hours ago.
Ugh. What is this?
Saliva-activated cappuccino and eggs. Don't you like it?
She pulls a face. Mike looks out of the window.
What the hell is that? Kind of floating junkyard?
Welcome to the scum cluster.
Outside, floating debris comes into view, a vast collection of discarded ships and rubbish.
What the hell happened to them?
Asteroid got some of them.
Asteroids? Where are they?
Where are they?
Yeah, where are they?
Warning, density 10 asteroid field. Freight driver, you're approaching too fast for evasive maneuvers.
Don't make me turn you off, Betty.
John, this shows a big cluster coming straight ahead, huh? I don't see anything. It's gotta be a malfunction, right?
Something unseen is approaching fast. John thinks hard.
It's Black Rock!
What? Strap yourselves in.
They strap in while John does an evasive maneuver. He turns the ship up and away. Cindy gasps at the centrifugal forces pushing her back as John swings the ship sharp left and just misses a huge boulder of black rock. The ship snakes free of the chaos and Cindy breathes easier. John scans for more black rock.
I think we're clear.
I've never been so afraid in my life.
Mike glances out of the side window.
Look out!
The rock strikes the ship hard and plunges them into darkness.
Okay, Cindy?
Yeah.
Everybody, yeah. Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. I'm going for some light.
John grabs a torch and fiddles with the cabin's electrics. The lights return.
How bad do you think it is?
It felt bad.
Should too.
Betty, confirm what I'm seeing here.
Freight driver, main and secondary engines are down due to pressure constriction of components in direction control.
Thanks, Betty.
And internal cooling system has also shut down. You're welcome, freight driver.
No chance of a fix?
Sure. After a 5-hour cool down.
Yeah, we'll roast in here before then.
John is thinking hard.
It's getting hot in here.
Yeah, I figure we got about 2 hours before we burn up. Escape pod's no good. Too far away from the nearest colony to make it. Anyway, it only holds two.
So what's that mean? We're gonna die?
Now, there's always a chance that our emergency locator beacons will draw somebody before that happens.
Somebody? What do you mean, somebody?
John.
Sure. There's always a chance, baby. Always a chance.
John starts getting into his dirty brown spacesuit.
We got a little juice left in the parking rockets. If we can cut the load loose, we should be able to put ourselves in the shadow of one of them asteroids.
Yeah, that'll give us enough time to fix the main engines. Let's go.
It's a one-man job.
Be careful.
The outer doors open and John floats out. Meanwhile, in the cockpit, the temperature is rising.
You were born on Earth, weren't you, Cindy?
Yeah, New York City. It's technically a part of Earth.
Earth. I've always dreamed about going to that place.
That's great.
You know, birds, trees, those things that live in the rivers.
Yeah, fish.
Yeah.
My mother's took me to see them a couple times. Earth's an amazing place. That was so hot.
Yeah.
Mike removes his waistcoat.
Do you mind?
Oh, no. Go for it. Yeah, do the same.
Mike takes his shirt off. Cindy removes her top. Mike stares at Cindy. Wearing only a shiny green bra, Cindy knows the effect she's having on him. She coyly looks about her and smiles as she removes her leggings. Mike takes off his metal boots and, grinning, floats upside down in order to remove his trousers. Cindy glistens in the heat.
Feels so much better.
Mike approaches her. But the intercom interrupts anything that was about to happen. She looks wistfully away as Mike reaches for the radio.
John, how you doing out there, buddy?
There's some kind of automatic seal deal here. I'm gonna have to try cracking it off.
All right, you do that. Let me know if I can help you out. Okay?
Mike returns to Cindy. They look at each other and passionately kiss. Embracing, they float upwards. Outside, John is hard at work expanding the blade of his saw. Meanwhile, inside...
Mike, we gotta stop. Wait. Stuff like this happens all the time. We gotta realize one thing. I'm engaged.
What?
Look, it started out as a joke. John asked me to marry him, and I said, sure, if you take me to Earth.
That's total bullshit.
Look, a promise is a promise, okay? John's a good man, and I don't have to justify myself to you or to anybody.
Mike kisses her again. She does not pull away at first.
We gotta stop.
Sorry.
John's work underneath the cargo hold is interrupted. An automatic armed sensor appears and points right at him. He freezes and stares in amazement. It suddenly fires a laser and destroys the toolbox beside him. Then it aims at him. John scurries to safety over the ledge. Wondering what is going on, he carefully peers over, just in time to see the arm return into the hold. He mutters to himself.
This here is not gonna work.
The cockpit door opens. John walks in to find Mike and Cindy looking sheepish.
It's awfully warm in here.
It's awfully hot in here, isn't it? So, let's take your clothes off. Be more comfortable. Huh? Right?
Yep.
Would that have been your idea?
Yeah, it was my idea. So what?
Well, I think it's a pretty cheesy way to get a look at my fiancé's tits.
Knock it off, John.
Look, that's not what's going on here, John, at all.
Hey, I gotta hand it to you, Mike, king of the smooth dogs. Oh, it's hot in here. Your husband's outside.
Yeah, you know what I think of a guy who forces a girl to marry him in exchange for giving her a lift?
I'd like to know.
Stop it! Stop fighting over a girl. There's gonna be two scoops of ashes in about 2 hours, all right? We're gonna die here, okay? Why don't we try for a little dignity for a change?
John starts to remove his spacesuit.
I can't unhook the load. There's some kind of auto-defense mechanism on the containers.
Whatever's in them, it ain't no sex dolls. I mean, a plastic date doesn't need that kind of protection.
Yeah, tell me about it.
So what do we do now?
Why don't we divert the coolant from the refrigerator through the inside plumbing?
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, it'll give us something to do anyways.
The Pachyderm 2000 rig, they don't have a refrigerator.
Why the hell not?
Because it's an option. I don't buy options, you know? Like pseudo suede seats or half-tinted four-port or silent suck toilets. I don't buy options.
Great.
But I did bring this.
He opens a hatch and produces a box. Once the lid is removed, they all smile. It is full of beer.
Suck-a-zucks.
Well, at least we got some notice. It gives us time to prepare ourselves for the end. However you do that.
The ship hangs in space beneath the glittering field of black rock. Yet the quiet is disturbed as a huge black passenger liner comes into view. It heads straight towards them. On its side is a large motif, a pirate's skull and crossbones. Its immense docking doors open wide, like a mouth, and swallows John's ship in one easy gulp.
Liner, we're being saved.
There's likely going to be some conditions attached to that.
Liner identified as former vessel Alpha 7, Nixon
3, vanish 10-24, 92.
It didn't vanish. It was jacked. These are the jackers, man.
Huh. If it's who I think it is, boy, are you lucky you're not wearing those company pajamas.
John's ship, complete with containers, is completely dwarfed by the sheer scale of the loading bay they now reside in. As soon as the giant door closes, gravity hits and their whole ship crashes to the ground. John reaches for his gun.
Move out! Come on, let's go!
The pirates try to board John's ship.
Come get that hatch open! Come on!
John, how many guns you got?
I'm not even sure this one works, eh?
Look, if you're not gonna use it, give it to me. I'll use it.
You're gonna make one of them desperate last stands?
Look, setting aside these scum might have in mind for us, what do you think they're gonna do to her, huh?
Mike, there's not a lot we can do. We just hope that our cooperative attitudes and our Sunday disposition see us clear.
What did you have in mind, Mike?
We'll hold them off as long as we can, and then...
What?
I'll save two shots for the both of us.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Can you put that thing away someplace safe, okay?
Yeah, look, we're not gonna let them take us. Give me the gun.
I gotta go to Earth, okay? So if I gotta wade through neck-deep crap, I'm still going.
The pirates force open the outer door.
Everybody, come on, move! Come on!
We don't work for the company, remember that? We're friendly.
Damn it!
We don't work for the company.
Over to the control panel! Move it, now!
We're going.
You're all prisoners of the Regalia, if anyone's curious. If you try to escape, you will be killed. If you resist, you will be killed. If you fail to obey orders, you will be killed. Ah, what the hell? We'll probably kill you anyway. All right, get out of here. Come on, move it. Come on, get out. Come on.
Put your hands up.
Move them out.
Okay, don't act up.
Move them out.
Come
on.
Look at that, huh? Salvage specialist.
Shut up. What are you holding?
We don't know. I'm telling you that we don't know. Never cared.
It's a mistake to give up caring.
Don't mess him up too much. Macanudo wouldn't like it.
You leave the captain to me.
My pleasure.
Good man. Menifest says what they're carrying is sex dolls.
Sex dolls. Hey, what do you think they're really carrying?
Gotta be something hot.
Yeah.
Drugs, maybe.
Yeah.
You like drugs or guns best, Lou?
Drugs, man. I
like guns best.
Scummy?
Yeah?
Hook him up.
This way.
Where's the captain's equipment?
Over here.
They are all manacled up, arms above their heads. Things go steadily quiet as the badly scarred, one-armed, one-legged villain, Macanudo, enters the scene. The lift doors open, and he stands, shrouded in cigar smoke. His pneumatic left leg pumps as he walks.
Manifest says they're carrying sex dolls.
Macanudo looks at John's paperwork.
Thank you for apprising me, Mr. Cook.
Well, I do know how you love to be apprised, sir.
He studies the three of them, Mike, John, and then the beautiful Cindy. He menacingly limps up to her, produces a cloth, and mops her brow.
You have been perspiring.
Well, it's about 170 in the cab.
He sniffs the cloth.
I compliment you, my dear. You have a strong, distinctive, and not altogether unpleasant body odor. It's gratifyingly approachable.
Captain, we want to thank you for saving us.
We're real grateful about it, Captain. Thank you.
I didn't save you, you company scumbag. I jacked your load.
Well, whatever. We appreciate it. I think it's important that you understand we do not work for the company.
Macanudo walks up to John and Mike.
I want to know what your cargo is. Who's the shipper and who's the consignee?
We don't know none of that.
You're gonna kick yourself later. Because if you had troubled to inform yourself...
Weapons of torture are revealed. He refuses the scalpel, but approves the circular saw.
I wouldn't have to slice off your manly process.
Is he talking about my dick?
Captain, we're just independent contract haulers. We're trying to make a living. We don't ask a lot of questions. What we do know is whatever's in those cars is not something to mess with.
Do I look like someone to mess with?
No, sir. No, sir.
Like I have the IQ of an egg timer?
No.
Those are high-security double-two containers you're hauling. I say the pair of you are company buck boys.
Wrong. If you're going to hack off my dick, do it. And I'll change my name to Terry or Lee or something neutral. That ain't going to change what I know.
Your dick? Is this your dick? Huh?
No.
That one's mine.
Okay, I'm gonna run the proof of Fermat's last theorem in my head. That takes between 8 and 17 seconds. And then we'll begin again.
Captain's a genius.
Yeah. I was head of company research and development. Top man, slotted for the big job. I was betrayed by that bastard E.J. Sags. Fat-assed fool thought he'd killed me. Made the mistake of having it done in my laboratory. I was able to save myself.
Recreate my body. You are a very attractive woman. In the normal course of human affairs, you probably wouldn't look twice at me.
Captain, where are we going with this?
I am drawn to beauty like other men. But beauty gives me a wide berth in life's halls, so to speak. Were you not chained to a major support beam of my ship, I wouldn't stand a chance of having sex with someone so alluring as you.
Leave her alone, you half-electric asshole.
He didn't mean that. He respects the brave way you confront your disability.
Kill him.
Wait!
Mr. Cobb.
Look, I've got to get to Earth. I've got to see my mother. All right, so keep the load and give us the rig and... I'll have sex with you.
John looks at Mike.
Really?
Yeah. Right there on the floor, if that's what you want.
I think we should repair to my quarters, my dear. Come here.
Her arms are lowered and her chains unlocked. With his metal clasp, Macanudo takes her arm and they walk away.
John, we gotta do something. What are we gonna do, just sit here?
Don't co-opt the right to be indignant, kid. She's my fiancée.
Macanudo and Cindy enter the lift and the doors close. A short time later, with a window behind her that looks out at the stars beyond, Cindy sits nervously on a grand golden bed in Macanudo's sumptuous bedroom.
What would make you more comfortable, my dear? I have 7 different forms of sedation. Alcohol. The usual pharmacology?
Let's not fool ourselves, Captain, all right? I just want to get this over with.
I can accept that. However, I'm confident that I can make a favorable impression on her.
He removes his hat, showing that half his brain is mechanical. He removes his glasses, revealing he has only one real eye.
I rebuilt my own mind.
So you got a homemade brain?
He walks towards her, unbuttoning his coat. Cindy, trying to put a brave face on it all, looks uncomfortable. Macanudo walks past her, turns his back, and removes his coat. His back is half-human, half-machine. Cindy tries not to panic. She sees tubes carrying green liquid around his body. He turns to face her.
I rebuilt everything. Every organ.
He walks up to her and pulls a cord that starts a small unseen motor. Cindy's eyes widen in horror.
I emit a low-amp electrical wang pulse designed to drive women wild with pleasure.
Ugh, stop! You're gonna make me puke. Hey, look, quit talking or the deal's off, okay?
He pulls the cord again. His motor is failing him.
I pray you allow me a few moments to coordinate my seldom used reproductive sequences.
Yeah, sure.
In the cargo hold, John and Mike are still prisoners. There is much activity next to the container. Lou and Sam prepare to drill.
Man, this casing's made out of some exotic alloy, and these security seals, man, that's something new.
I wouldn't mess with that load. It's bad. It'll eat you alive.
Ooh, my heart is racing, Mr. Truckman.
Okay, Sam. Hit it.
Sam starts drilling. John winces. Sam's cutter can make no dent and overheats in the process.
Hey, you all right?
That's a diamond blade just shattered. What the hell does that?
One of those things.
We gotta try something else, Lou.
Yeah.
The automatic armed sensor pops out.
What the hell is that?
The sensor looks around, then shoots Sam. As people run, the laser shoots them. Amidst the panic, pirates try to shoot the laser. Mike smiles, whereas John just closes his eyes. One by one, the pirates are killed. During the battle, one pirate loads and aims a bazooka. He fires it, and the laser gun is destroyed. In the silence, Lou runs up to his friend.
Sam! Sam! Sam, man, are you all right? Sam!
Hey, something's cooking, man. Something's cooking.
What are you talking about?
Smells like somebody been making hamburgers.
God damn, Sam. It's you.
It is?
Sam looks down and loses consciousness.
Sam! Sam!
What did I tell you?
Shut up! I gotta tell the captain. John, we gotta do something. What do you think they're doing to her up there, huh?
It's not the first time, kid, and she's doing it for the team.
In the bedroom, Cindy is bored. Macanudo is busy fixing his mechanized manhood. He turns to her, and he pulls the cord once more.
We're 100% operational, my dear.
She moves back onto the bed in fear. He leans towards her and starts to clumsily position himself on top of her. The remote control round his neck bashes into her face.
You want to lose the manly jewelry, you're going to give me a nosebleed.
Oh, it's a good luck charm. I never take it off. Just close your eyes and think of Brooklyn.
Cindy struggles and fumbles around his neck. Her hand comes across a tube. She pulls it hard. Macanudo jumps onto his back in agony, spilling green fluids all over the place.
Nothing personal.
She disconnects another oozing tube. He struggles on the floor. as she grabs his coat and glasses.
He just made the biggest mistake of your life!
Be tough for a guy who can't get off his back.
She grabs his cigar and hat.
You'll never get off his ship!
Oh, yeah? Watch me.
She enters the lift.
Mr. Carr!
Moments later, in the darkness, she limps into the hold.
Oh, there you are, Cap. Lou just went looking for you. The load. You want me to leave?
Okay. All right, Captain. Okay. All right.
Scummy walks away as she walks up to John and Mike.
Back awfully quick, aren't you, Captain? She rides you out?
Scummy interprets her mime.
Kill him, huh? What? What? Oh, you want to kill him? Absolutely. Touchdown. You want us to cut him down? You don't mind if I tenderize him a little bit first?
Macanudo arrives with crew.
Come in!
You overblown cretin.
Well, aren't you a regular Mr. Fix-It?
He has her stripped of his things.
I'm sorry you couldn't find it in your heart to give me a chance. You could have been my beloved concubine and shared my position here.
Well, I guess it wasn't in my fortune cookie.
Now, all you'll share is my crew. 312 of them in random order.
He picks up a cleaver.
But first, you can watch me kill your friends. Or if you prefer, you can scrunch up your cute little nose and turn the other way.
Do it, Captain.
Captain, did it occur to you that a load with that kind of protection ought to be checked out first thing?
Macanudo's mechanical brain lights up as he thinks. He turns to the cargo pods. Later, four of the crew wheel in a giant drill and carefully position it against the container's wall. Macanudo licks a fresh cigar as one of the crew takes the drill's control. He fires it up and puts on a pair of dark goggles while the others look away. With much smoke and noise, the drill begins to shoot a bright burning beam. It slowly cuts through the container in a large arc. Everyone squints from the light as it does so. Then a circle of steel falls away. Inside the container, hanging from the ceiling, is a line of biomechanical warriors. Close up, one of them gets a surge of blue liquid. Its mechanical heart beats. Outside, the drill is removed.
After you, Mr. Cart.
Yes, sir. Right behind you, Lou. Come on. Get in there.
Mr. Cut and Lou enter the cargo pod.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
Holy shit. What the hell is all this junk?
These
are my babies.
It's the captain.
State-of-the-art disintegrators, boys. This baby will vapor man in 500 milliseconds and leave his watch and small change lying on the deck.
Just what have we got here, sir?
We've got SAGs, boys. We've got E.J. Sags, right by shriveled little scrotum. A little reprogramming and the company is mine. Ours, if you will. And then I'll feed Sags' liver to the ship's rats.
Hey, look at this. This one's missing.
What?
Macanudo walks into the gap for a closer look.
Damn.
He takes hold of the remote control.
What's that deal, Captain?
Quiet.
The warrior stands up behind them. As Macanudo turns in horror, the warrior's three eyes glow red. Mr. Cut is hurled out of the pod as screams are heard from within it.
It's coming! Kill it! Kill it!
The warrior steps through the hole and begins to return fire, killing all those who resist. Cindy screams. One man is vaporized where he stands. Another simply gets stood upon. A third pirate loses his leg. This man manages to press the alarm button. Scummy shoots at the warrior, but is also vaporized. The warrior turns to Cindy and walks towards her. Suddenly, pirates arrive en masse. They attack the warrior, and it retaliates. In the chaos, Cindy goes to the mess that was Scummy and searches until she finds a bunch of keys. A man's head explodes as she runs back to John and Mike to unlock their chains.
What the hell is going on here?
I don't know, but I bet we get blamed.
Once free, John picks up a gun.
Let's get out of here!
All three duck behind a drill. The warrior has now started hand-to-hand combat with the pirates. John, Mike and Cindy seem trapped. All they can do is watch the massacre. Then, John notices the manual airlock activation button, and a plan quickly comes to mind. He studies the giant airlock in front of him. The warrior produces a blade and slices a pirate in half, lengthways.
Bite a death knot, asshole!
One pirate produces a grenade and throws it at the warrior. The warrior simply catches it and hurls it back. The pirate is hit and knocked backwards into the lift. As the doors close, he explodes. The warrior continues to slice its way through the crew. Pirate after pirate is slain by the robot.
Okay, get ready, let's go!
John presses the button. The airlock begins to open. He leads Mike and Cindy away. The warrior, seeing them go, shoots, but misses. They jump clear. Once up, Mike and Cindy come across two pirates and punch them both out of the way. Before running into John's ship, they all arrive in the cockpit.
5 minutes to complete cooldown.
Well, we ain't got 5 minutes.
Outside, pirates start floating away into space as the warrior watches. One pirate tries to hold on, but can't, and he is sucked into space.
Fire it up, will you, Mike?
Mike hits the accelerator, and the ship flies at speed up and out of the collapsing cargo hold. Just as they fly clear, numerous internal explosions start wrecking the whole space liner until it is finally destroyed in one huge big bang. John, Mike and Cindy are shaken but alive.
We made it! I can't believe it, we got out of there!
Well, I gotta say, I'm very, very happy to be here. Goddamn, I am.
Me too. Of course, you always feel that way after a near miss. Where's on?
Attention, freight driver. There is a breach in the exterior hull of container one. Pressure and oxygen loss is total.
Ah, if we get a vacuum container, too bad. You know, if the load's perishable, it's already perished. Yeah, so forget it.
Wait a second. Does somebody hear something back there that sounds like there's something back there? I do.
John is annoyed.
Kitchen, Betty. Take over. Mike, suit up. Cindy?
Yeah.
Move over here. Okay. Sit here.
Right.
You watch these gauges. You see a red light come on, you shout at me on the radio, okay?
All right.
All right.
I will need you to elaborate on your instructions.
Mitch and Betty, you hold a course toward Earth. You better keep this, okay?
He gives Cindy the gun.
It's an SOS.
Yeah, and it can also be a trap.
The airlock opens. John and Mike walk into the container. They look about them as the door closes behind. Whatever is tapping SOS is at the far end. They carefully approach it. John nods to Mike, who sees a fire extinguisher. He carries it, ready to fire it. They reach the knocking. Mike aims and squirts the extinguisher, only to discover it is the upper torso of Macanudo. He is barely alive.
Light me. There's a flame in my pocket.
John lights Macanudo's cigar.
Maybe I should get the first aid kit.
Forget it. I cauterized the main arteries, but I don't have much time left.
What happened back there at the Regalia?
Soldier, warrior, activated, did what it's programmed to do.
What about our cars here? You know what's in them?
Army.
What?
I made them for the company. They're genetically engineered, biomechanical super warriors. My babies. You can't stop them.
There's got to be some way to shut those bastards off.
You're doomed. I'm afraid. If I had an anus, I'd probably soil myself.
You got to tell us how to stop these things.
They activate in waves. 1, 2, 4, 8.
He snaps off the remote controller from around his neck.
This thing here locks them up.
John takes it and presses the button as a test.
You boys got a use for this?
He's gone.
You know, for a son of a bitch, gimp, rapist, murderer, he died okay. Come on.
A hole is burning through the wall of the container. They step away as far as they can. Two warriors jump in and walk towards them. John has pressed the button.
Wow.
We should go check it out in there.
They step past the frozen warriors and into the darkness of the cargo pod.
Need some light in here.
I got a flashlight. Ain't exactly made for space.
It's made for reading under the blankets, isn't it?
John's feeble torch comes on. They look about them. Dozens of dormant warriors hang from the ceiling. They walk amongst them in awe.
Damn.
They walk further into the container. As they stare, the creepiness is heightened as John's flashlight lands on a newly beating mechanical heart. Transfixed, they stand and watch. As the body turns around, metal feelers come out of the torso and yank it tightly closed. Its head looks up. The legs of a second warrior stretch down to the ground. Opposite, another starts to move its arms. Then, another. It stands up straight. John presses the remote. Nothing happens.
This thing doesn't work until they're all grown up. Let's get back outside and wait for them.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on, come on.
They step outside of the pod and relax.
Here.
Two warriors jump out, only to be frozen by John pressing the remote.
Yeah!
don't know yet.
John shines his torch into the cargo pod.
I can't see anything.
Isn't there supposed to be four of them?
Yeah.
Where's the other two?
They step in to have a look. The two warriors have gone. To his dismay, John finds a hole in the outer wall of the ship. He peers out.
Cindy, put your spacesuit on. They're headed toward the cab.
John and Mike leave. Cindy puts her spacesuit on as John and Mike enter the airlock doors. Cindy, fully suited, grabs the gun just as John and Mike enter the cockpit. They all smile. Then, the warriors smash through the windows from outside and jump in. Everyone holds on tight as the air is sucked out of the cockpit. The warriors approach.
Do it, John! Freeze him!
But the remote is knocked free from John's hand and floats out of the window. Mike tries to grab it but fails. John dodges a warrior, but the other realizes it can't attack Mike.
You interfere with, do not damage or destroy your means of transport to Earth. Do not destroy your means.
It's programming, they can't wreck the truck.
John, it's going Swiss Army knife!
Cindy distracts it by shooting at its head. She backs into the airlock and tries to close the doors, which trap the surging warrior. But the metal feelers burst from its torso and throw themselves around Cindy. Mike grabs a canister of liquid oxygen as Cindy is struggling and being strangled, making her gasp for air. Mike fires the liquid oxygen to freeze the mechanical feelers. Meanwhile, John has been successfully dodging his deadly warrior. But it grabs him and throws him against the wall, then lunges at him with its giant blade. He jumps aside and the blade sticks into the wall. John grabs the microwave and smashes it onto the warrior's head. He presses cook.
Cooking time estimated 45 seconds.
John watches it sizzle as Cindy breaks free from the now frozen feelers. John runs at his warrior and pushes it out of the open window and into space. Mike frees Cindy from the airlock door, and they hug. They join John by the window.
Next time there's gonna be eight.
All three of them look at Earth below.
We're in a quick decaying Earth orbit, so when I cut the load loose, it'll drop into the atmosphere and incinerate those mutant guys. I want the two of you to get in the escape pod and get out of here.
No, we'll go with you.
You ain't been asked. Mike, you drive the pod.
So what's the plan, John?
Well, I'm gonna try to free the coupling. Blow it if I have to. And then I'm gonna ride the rig down.
Look, John, that goddamn rig will never make it through the atmosphere. Get serious.
Kid, this is a Pachyderm 2000 rig. It was mine before you were born. I know what it'll do. Now, I got something I want to say to both of you.
Cindy, I'm releasing you of all your obligations to marry me right now, all right? And I want to apologize for the way I done it. It weren't right. And, you know, I guess I've been jealous since I saw the way you two behaved with each other together, all right?
Look, John, you don't have to apologize, really.
Well, I don't do it so well anyway.
Probably because you never done it before.
And my advice to you is you take this woman to the church of the first exit off the freeway and you get hitched. You're a lucky man. Okay? All right, partner. Kick butt.
Later, John is fixing explosives to the clamps. Inside, Mike and Cindy strap themselves into the escape pod.
We're about ready here, John. How's it going, buddy? Oh, it's hanging by a thread. I'll have it cut in no time. I can practically kick it apart. No sign of them genetic deals, so go on. Get out of here.
Mike activates the pod. They swing in and ready themselves.
John, I figure we try for the Palmdale spaceport. You can bring the rig in there.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'll see you there.
Mike sets a dial, presses a button, and releases the pod. It flies free of the ship. John watches it go and continues placing explosives. Sweating heavily in his suit, he fixes a fuse and is about to check the detonator when a warrior appears from above. John fires his gun at it. The recoil makes him float away. On finding the gun empty, he lets it go, clips himself by a cord to the ship, then jumps into open space. Two warriors study the explosives. John detonates and destroys them. But the clamp holds tight. Six warriors approach, walking along the ship. With nothing he can do, John puts his hands up. But behind the warriors, the escape pod appears and floats towards them. Mike sets some computers and allows the pod to float backwards up to them. John smiles and gives the bird as Mike fires the pod's engines, incinerating the warriors. John gives a thumbs up to the pod, and it flies down to Earth. He watches them go, and his smile fades. He knows the worst is yet to come as he pulls himself back to his ship by the cord. In the cockpit, John sets the rear entry thrusters and straps himself in. He ignites the engines and accelerates, dropping at great speed into the atmosphere.
Time before we hit the atmosphere.
32 seconds, freight driver.
John looks behind him. Warriors are everywhere. One jumps at him. John yanks the ship hard right, flinging them into open space. The containers begin to burn up one by one. John sees on the screen that a dozen or so warriors are walking along the ship towards him. He accelerates as hard as he can, and the engine's thrust destroys some of them.
Not enough for you!
The ship continues to burn up. The escape pod is stuck into the ground. A parachute billows. The door opens. Mike and Cindy are safe.
There he is.
A smoke trail in the sky is John. On the ship, a warrior's claw grabs him.
Look, Mike, is that smoke?
There's bound to be smoke. The shielding will be burning off.
Come on, John. Come on, baby.
Come on.
He's getting closer.
He's gonna make
come
it.
On. Yeah.
He's gonna make it, Cindy.
Here it comes.
It explodes.
Oh, my God.
They hug in shock.
Hey! Hey! Hey, look here!
Behind them, John parachutes into land, and they all embrace.
Hey!
Hey, you married yet?
Good to see you.
Location, Palmdale General Hospital.
We interrupt this program for a special news update. Two space truckers and a waitress have saved the Earth from an invasion from outer space. The three discovered they were carrying an army of robotic warriors sent by persons unknown to conquer our planet.
Mom, I have Mike and John here with me.
Oh, just a second.
Would you like us to come back when you're a little more recovered, maybe?
Nah, I'll be right with you.
Can we get you anything, Mrs. Wells?
Get this, Mike. Call me Carol.
Cindy opens the curtains, revealing her mother, Carol. John and Carol stare at each other in amazement.
Mom? Mom? This is Mike?
Oh, Mike, yeah. Welcome to the family.
Wow. This is John?
Oh, yeah.
You're Carol Wells. Cindy's your daughter. This Cindy?
What, do I look weird or something?
You look great. And beautiful, like the picture that I saw of you, but that picture was taken 20 years back. Could somebody tell me what's going on here?
You see, when I got sick, they offered me a choice. Die or get frozen. Anyway, I got the deep freeze. They thawed me. They cured me. Here I am.
They froze you?
Well, there's a lot of fancy names for it, but yeah. I don't look freezer burn, do I?
Not from what I can see.
Special Agent Ridgett, I'm taking charge here.
What do you want?
Pat him down.
What?
I'm head of presidential security. We're securing this room for a presidential visit.
In the street, the police beat the crowds away so that the president can enter. He walks through the crush, holding a metal briefcase.
The president? The president of the world is coming here? Yeah?
The president enters the room.
Mr. President, I...
Okay, Richard, move along.
Shoot.
The guards leave them alone.
I'm President Sags, and I'm here to express the gratitude of my administration and my constituents, all the people of the system.
Sags? E.J. Sags?
I thought that the president's name was Dobie. Okay.
Dobie's the former president. He resigned last week. Government's been privatized. High time.
We know who you are, Sags, okay? You sent those things to Earth, and you cost us a good rig, and you almost got us killed about 50 times, okay?
Hey, take it easy. You're talking to the president here.
I'll grant you, there have been mistakes made, and there have been lies told. But I assure you, whatever you've been told, I was not aware, and I was not involved.
You were not aware. Right.
I mean, could it be that some individual in the company just overreached himself? He sent these things to Earth as a kind of insurance policy in case the merger talks broke down. But I wouldn't like these sort of rumors to be circulating during the first crucial days of my administration. Or ever.
No problem.
Now, just so happens there's a new rig waiting to take off, and it's waiting for you there on Gantry F.
What do you think you could do, buy us like a tuna for sandwich?
I've also arranged to have your mother's hospital bill taken care of.
No, now, hold on a second.
And for your other troubles, maybe this will compensate to some small degree.
He opens the case. It is full of cash.
We didn't do what we did for money, and money doesn't fix anything, all right?
John silences Mike.
You have our cooperation and our silence, sir.
Oh, good. Good. Well, I must run. Remember now, hush, hush.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for everything.
Sags leaves.
Mr. Independent.
What was that about? You gonna keep this?
No, we're not gonna keep
it. No, we don't want no part of that money.
You know, you guys could really use that money, getting married and all.
Hey, we don't want that kind of money.
You two don't get it, do you? If you don't take this money and shut up about what happened, they're gonna come after you and you'll disappear. Now you gotta take it.
We gotta take the money. We gotta take this and become company butt boys for the rest of our lives, yeah?
I wanna make sure that you understand the facts.
You gonna take it, John? Are you gonna take it?
No, but I don't want you to end up like me.
God forbid.
Mike flings the suitcase out of the window. Sags gets into his car and looks at a bomb's detonator. As the case falls towards him, Sags arms the bomb and presses the button, just as the case lands on his car.
Somebody fragged Sags.
You know, I think it was us.
Oh, my God.
We better get out of here.
Yeah.
Come on.
We already have a cover-up.
Too bad Sags blew himself up.
Never got to thank him for the new rig.
All right, here we go. I've never done this before. Any chance I'll lose my lunch?
You'll be fine.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have booster ignition.
John, Carol, Cindy, and Mike are all pushed into their seats because of the sheer force of the rockets as John's glorious new ship takes off from the launch pad. The end.
Where's the fire?
long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Cotton Eye Joe. If it hadn't been for Cotton Eye Joe, I'd have been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go?